This is good because, like, I was actually watching a Josh Satin YouTube video where he, like, went to interview, like, a different farm, and he showed, like, a couple, like, outros, and I was like, I never really think about YouTube video production or anything like that because we always, like, live stream things, and you can't really, you know, get around it. But, like, I guess when you go make YouTube videos, you have, like, bad takes or whatever. That was just a bad cut.
That was a bad cut. But definitely blame me for that one. And I'm really sorry about that, Brad. So how about we just start from the top? Really good to be with you.
If we're
We
doing this,
talked.
does my hair look okay?
Yeah,
If we're actually like making things easy. Okay. It's nice in the spot. Okay, good.
look fucking great, dude. We love you, Brad. Fucking thirst trap. I was thinking if I were doing similar work, I'd be like losing weight, getting cut. Oh, I sort of miss that kind of work. I used to do similar stuff.
So do you want to get us started?
I was doing like a, sort of like an hour of homework before the stream. We were watching videos as you popped in the chat there, and
Oh, cool.
it honestly not only looked like a promising thing for the country and for the world, but also promising for many individuals. And honestly, I looked at it and I thought that could be something cool I would like to do, perhaps. Like a beautiful way to connect yourself to the earth and to your work again and seize the means of your production.
So to give, I think, a bit of context into what Dan is talking about for any people who might be seeing this on YouTube or anything afterwards, Dan, I think before was watching some videos about like what an urban farm would be. There was one in Detroit. There were maybe like ones in a couple of different areas. And I'm Brad. I stream on Touring News. I've been doing some streaming for about like 2.5 years. This year, I think I'm going to be focusing on maybe showing like different urban farms and so forth. But the way that I went about like going to this one was there's a website or an organization, I guess it's an organization called WOOFing. It's Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. There's around 1,600, 1,700 woofing opportunities in the United States. It's in about like maybe 90 or 120 countries. I'm not exactly sure how many. But what I'm supposed to be doing here at this urban farm in Cleveland is 25 hours of work per week in exchange for you're always going to get housing wherever you go. Some places have better internet than others. Some have better food offerings than others. Some have better I don't know, other like offerings and so forth. But this one, I get food, housing, internet, and electricity. So it's really like not too bad of a deal. And we're going to be chatting with Dan. I think I have to like answer some of those personal question things that people ask. And then some of the other parts and times, we're going to be looking at like raspberries and indoor beds and hydroponics and a no-till out front and some permaculture and so forth.
So you want me to fire off some of those questions? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna, if I don't want to answer one of them, just say, oh, no, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. That is really the idea. If you wanted to dig into the format, the heart of the format, well, a couple different ways you could look at it. What we do ask is what people are up to these days. Obviously, you're going to be able to tell us about that in detail and show us about that. Otherwise, we talk about people's leftward bound journey, how they ended up leftist or left adjacent, you know, left adjacent enough to be on my show at least. And then maybe like life tips. We also talk about, and we have the leftist inquisition, which is that questionnaire. So I'm not quite sure what you want to dig into, but I'm happy to do anything, Bradley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess like how I got left will be okay. I'll give like a little thing of what we're going to be looking at here. So we're trying to grow a natural fence line around the edge of our property via using raspberry bushes. There's some sunchokes interplanted in here because like there's some extra system where you can get like a little bit more food production out. And then we have these cherry trees kind of going along the edge of the property as well. So with what your urban farm videos were talking about is you're really one kind of like of the biggest benefits would be increasing biodiversity inside of cities that don't really have like places to get it elsewhere. Like we do, we have a nice like food forest out front. So you do get trees, you do get insects, you do get bees, you do get like little critters and so forth. And this was one of like our big projects that we did. So as we like walk up around here to get to like the next bed, we can talk about, you know, like the leftward bound journey or so forth. Man, how did it happen? Well, when I was younger, I don't know, I worried about the environment and I worried about climate change. And I tried really hard to help with that kind of stuff until I was like, I don't know, 20. And then I was like, well, nobody's doing anything and nobody listens. So I'm gonna like quit and go do some of my own stuff. And then I like, you know, ran around for 5 years or 6 years just like working here, working there, or so forth. Eventually resettled down, started to like get back interested in like how I could be useful or helpful or beneficial again. Was thinking maybe what I would be good at doing would be, I don't know, reporting or writing or being a journalist or doing some kind of thing. I didn't really see any, like, I was trying to apply to newspapers and so forth, didn't really have any traction. So then I was like, well, you know, some people talk about like politics online, and maybe if you're a news channel that like reads articles with like a community and they're fact checking you and you're fact checking them, and you cover like a lot of different stories and you let them submit stories, so it even like removes like a little bit of your selection bias, you know, I guess you could build like a decent news group with people where you could like figure some stuff out. So then this is now, I think, February 2019. So I started streaming, and I did that for like 2 years, really. I mean, just a lot, like all the time, you know, like you do, Dan, or like any of the streamers do, you know, what, 28 days a month or something, really trying to like learn a lot about, like, I leaned into international news and economics, political economy, monetary systems, energy, and so forth. And after, like, well, I ended up volunteering for Barney for a little while and doing some stuff with that. And at the end of all of it, I kind of just got to, well, we need people in the fields of like doctors, nurses, teachers, plumbers, electricians, builders, farmers, energy workers, I guess like some transport, some manufacturing and so forth. And one that kind of like interested me, that seemed like accessible to me based on like not having to like pay money to go into, you know, like a program or any type of endeavors or so forth, was like, well, maybe I can figure out something to do to combine the streaming that I've done with like some urban farming. And then this is how I got to, you know, this like type project. And now I guess I'm really looking to see, are there some people interested in getting maybe like, I don't know, 7 acres that could be split somehow and like grown on or so forth. So that's, hi, we're back.
So your plan here is to work here for a while and sort of get your green thumb, get the strategies underway, and you want to buy a bigger plot of land. Is that the idea? Did I follow there?
Let me go indoors where it's a little bit warm for a moment, and okay, I'm gonna answer this question.
Warm up, buddy. It's raining out
there.
We're
gonna skip past some stuff and then we'll come back.
All right.
As to wanting to get some land, I don't exactly understand what the ownership system of said land like will be, could be, should be. There's some people out there that do interesting things where, like, if you work X amount of time, like, you get some land. But I, you know, maybe a model I was like thinking on a little bit was, if you get 10 acres, maybe there's like, what, 5 for everybody to use, and each person gets their own acre, you know, for their little like residence or something. I don't know what I don't know right now, which is a lot. So yeah, there's like so much about it, but I do know that I'd be interested in like getting places like this like developed or like back up and running and so forth. So this one was in like a little bit of like disrepair. But the staff here has really done a great job of like repairing and healing and bringing back like what it can be and was. You know, there's a leek bed. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of like kale in here, red Russian. There's going to be garlics down there, carrots, you know, all these different things. So yeah, a little of somehow doing something like this. I want to look into, you know, self-sustaining and not self-sustaining, but a little bit of energy. That's it. I'm stopping. Hi, yours again.
You're stopping? I'm sorry.
That's all that I had to say.
Okay.
I think.
Where did you leave off there? I was just trying to track what you just said at the very end.
I don't know.
Okay. Self-sustaining or something? And then you said something else.
Well, I don't think that like we need to get everything perfect, but I'm kind of like trying to think of simple ways that we can minimize, you know, carbon transport. That was one of the big ones that they were talking about with the video that you were watching.
Okay.
Let's see if I get the angle there. Can you get like healthier foods close to home? Can you like start getting back to things and such? So So it's not the perfect solution for absolutely everything, but I do like some of what's being, some of what you can do.
Awesome. Well, what do you think? Does it represent the solution to capitalism? Is it, should we just all do this and then we defeat capitalism, or is this just a small part of it, or how big of a part of it is it, if it even plays a part? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not the one that has like the answer to defeat anything, but like if I were trying to win in a video game, what I would try to do is get as many, I guess like 35 and under workers back into what would be agreed upon by democratic parties, back into those like fields, and try to like build up like enough labor power within these different like skill disciplines to, I guess, redevelop at least like some viability of labor power. So I'm all for, well, I'm at the moment right now where I've been working with an arborist too. So like 3 days a week, I've been going with, a certified arborist who's been teaching us how to the trash will be gone soon. I'll move over here for just been working with an arborist to deal with what happens if like a fungal rot infects a tree, or what happens if like a girdled root system is like taking over like a large oak or so forth. And it seems that there's just, I guess I want to go back, and I'm in the phase of like relearning some skills and then seeing, okay, how can we use a plot of land like this? Like, I think the best viable use case scenario of something like this one would be an educational facility to bring elementary schools, or to bring, youth clubs, or any type of people that want to come to get their hands on something, look into, have it be an open system. So, the answer to it would be, as many of these endeavors as can be, not the answer, sorry, one of the things that I would put forward would be trying to highlight and amplify and show different schools that can be redeveloped as like, I guess, maybe like a vocational center or so forth. I think it's one thing that would be useful. Just one.
I'm sorry, I'm muted. We've also seen in some of these videos that we were watching how it could be hard just to grow. It could be illegal in urban spaces to grow food. Is that the case in Cleveland? What has it been like? What are what are other urban challenges that y'all face? Maybe you thought of, have surprised you.
These are really good questions. And somebody brought up an interesting point about now just getting like pollution runoff. So there's a lot of good questions and a lot of good things to answer all at once. So not only is like, urban farming illegal in some cities. Yes, that is a huge problem. It's illegal in some places to capture your own rainwater. A lot of places have HOA systems where like you can't grow food in your front yard or so forth. So there are all different types of regulations against a lot of things that people want to grow. I might have to hop back into, actually, I'm going to go over to the hydroponics house because we're raining really hard.
Nice. You grow weed.
We're not raining hard, but it's like, actually, no, I'll come back into here. Here's the new house we haven't been in.
Okay.
This is potatoes, arugula, Asian mustard, lettuce, and some of these are really like coming up nicely here. So we're going to be harvesting those pretty soon. There's all kinds of issues, what can you grow, what can't you grow, and so forth. So what they had to do here, this was actually all blacktop that they had to depave. So there's a group in Cleveland called Depave Cleveland that actually came through here in a multi-week, multi-year process and dug out a lot of what were just blacktop areas. Dug down deep enough, put edging around the walls to prevent leachate from coming through, and put down new soil, and then developed compost over time, and now like have these beds here. So it takes a lot to reclaim certain abandoned farm areas, especially if you have to do any kind of like depaving work or so forth. So instead of depaving, what you can do in some places which the rain abated here for a little bit, is you can do a raised bed. So these are raised beds. You can kind of just like bring up off like the top or whatever. This is a strawberry one before it's weeded, which like that's got to be weeded now. And this is what happens when your stuff looks the way it's supposed to. So these are going to be our strawberries.
Oh, that's awesome.
And these are raspberry canes. Real quick before we, look at how nice and dark this soil is.
That's good. Dark is good. It's full of nutrients.
These are the raspberries. So these are the ones that we uprooted and we took to put around our fence line. Raspberries take 3 years to get you any raspberries off of them. So you get a cane the first year, that cane dies the second year, you break it off. Mm-hmm. You get a new cane on the second year, that one dies on the third year. The regrowth from the first will come back and then you get your raspberries.
Mm. All right. You're familiar with a streamer Clydeson, right? They have to paint these rocks to make them look like strawberries. So I guess to trick the birds into not stealing the strawberries, is that a thing?
it's a big thing in a lot of different ag communities. I'm just showing down on the ground here for a quick moment, everybody, because I don't want to like show anybody who doesn't want to be on camera. But we're back. That is a big thing in a lot of communities.
Yeah.
As you're getting the next question ready, I'll explain what this is real quick. These are the trays that we're using for our indoor hydroponic system, where we're growing a lot of different lettuces and so forth. So what we did is we brought them out here, we wrapped them in these gloves, filled them up with one part bleach, 9 parts water, filled them overnight, let them soak to kill all the algae or any of the algae that had grown underneath. Now a lot of these are like really nice. We just got to pressure wash them out. And then we're going to bring them over here to the hydro house. But you all like the hydroponics house. And it's warm in here for our next question.
Okay. All right. So one question is aspects of politics, leftist theory, thinking, history, personal experiences otherwise.
I'm going to turn this hose off. Hang on a second. Sorry.
No problem. So the question is really what along the way, emotionally or intellectually, pulled you to the left? Is the question. And if that's too deep, I can ask.
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
No problem. So what emotionally or intellectually pulled you to the left? Like what convinced you along the way? Big things, little things.
Well, I'm realizing that there's so much information that's out there in the planet that's just hidden behind somebody trying to extract either resources or profit from something else. And I was just talking about this like the other night. Like, I am not interested in really developing new farming technologies. Like, I don't think that that's really within my purview at the moment. Maybe, okay, I'm 31 years old. Maybe when I'm 47, if I do this kind of stuff, okay, cool. But there are so many people out there with YouTube videos or with tutorials or with know-hows that there's so much information that I just want to people to like share again and work collectively again and work towards like common goals again, because it just seems that there's, it almost like blows my mind that a problem cannot be figured out within like 6 days. Like pretty much like anything that we need to figure out these days, grab 10 people, give them 5G internet and they're going to figure it out. Like So I want to go figure out a way that we can do that and like get more people to be a part of like different processes. And that's a little of it.
These greens look beautiful and healthy and delicious. My gosh. Look at you. That looks great. Well, what do you think, Brad? Do you want to do the questionnaire? Do you want to do the leftist inquisition?
Like I said, I can tap out anytime I want to.
All right. Sounds good. The first question, Brad, what is your favorite word?
Oh, my favorite word?
Yeah.
Do not have one at all.
I know. Pass. Do you have a least favorite word?
No. Nope.
Pretty much the same question, but the flip side. No problem.
I like dark blue as like a favorite color.
Oh, dark blue. I'll accept it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Favorite word. That's a lot of like, man, because then you're telling people like a, maybe like a definition of something, and then it gets, no, I don't know. That's a weird one.
Gets out of hand.
I don't have a favorite word. Do you?
I don't think so. It's just like a conversation maker. And look at us. We're having a conversation. It did its job. All right. Then do you have a favorite drug, a vice, or guilty pleasure? And you could feel free to name one of each. Ooh. Favorite drug, vice, or guilty pleasure.
Well, I do like a beer. Mm. Yeah, I'm always a fan of, you know, having a good beer. That's our hydroponic system as we're looking at things. It's a rocket stove.
Right.
You can see like the piping for everybody while I'm answering some of these questions.
Yeah.
Our water, I'll answer this real, I'll show this real quick and then we'll do that part.
Okay.
So
plant-based beer,
this is our hydroponic system. That's pretty much like a closed system. Mm. We do have to add water into it, but you'll see what I mean about the closed aspect of it. Okay. So we've got our pump here, takes our water across, which then comes up into each of these blue tubes. Those blue tubes put it into the white horizontal bar, which then we are going to get like our water drip out through the straws, and it runs through our system here. All that you have to add in, that should be running, but I turned it off so we could hear inside. All that you have to add in is a little bit of nutrients. You're going to use some nitrogen, some phosphorus. I think you might have to use magnesium. And the nice part about it is because you have it slanted and sloped down, all of your water is going to go back through your piping system back down into your drain. So that's where you're using the benefit of hydroponics and growing like this is you can extend your growing seasons. You can put it in a hard house like this. You can grow without soil. You're using 90% less water. So even though you're going to have to use a little bit more of energy inputs, you're going to be so much better because you're not, there's so many factors that you're mitigating and eliminating that it really just is without, I mean, more or less growing lettuces this way is pretty much just better than growing them in the dirt. And then you can get into vertical hydroponic systems and so forth. My favorite vice, man, I guess for me at the moment, I might consider it to be traveling. Like I feel that I'm kind of in a position where I can just like, I'm addicted to going and seeing different things. So like my vice would be new things. I think my favorite vice is new stuff. I like seeing new stuff all the time. And what was the other one?
A guilty pleasure, drug vice or guilty pleasure?
Guilty. I think that they would be then like tied together. Guilty pleasure. Some days I eat a lot of junk food. I'm not the healthiest eater at times. I really enjoy. Yeah. That kind of stuff. But yeah, that's not it. I've been trying to work on that. Yeah. That's about it.
All right. I'm a little disappointed. The hydroponics, you're not growing any weed. Come on, dude. Where are you growing the weed,
well,
dude?
It's not my land yet, is it?
He's what? A smart guy. Love it. Love it, Brad. All right. Look at that. Dude.
I was just chatting with you.
That's a good look. That's awesome. That's a fantastic place. Can you remind me how much more time you have that you're going to be working there? How many more years is your sentence?
Well, I can go whenever I want to.
Okay.
And I don't really know. You know, I'm kind of...
Yeah.
I'm starting to look for some new places. I kind of want to go check out this thing in Detroit that you were talking about now, actually.
Hey.
I'm interested in going to that Saturday market and seeing if one of those farms there would maybe be looking for a person for a couple days.
Yeah.
But over the past couple, I guess like week and a half or 2 weeks, I've been wondering, like, can I maybe schedule like 6 or 7 different farms to go through over like a 4-week period? You know, maybe go for like 4 days to this one, do some of this kind of stuff, get some good like video footage for them. So into me applying into their projects, I'd be telling them, hey, I want to do a lot of media work. I want to do a lot of film work. You know, so A, it's going to have to be, you have to be comfortable with that. But B, like, your food has to be good enough. Like, you can't be cheating. You can't be, you know, bring in like nutrients from offsite. There's the possum.
Possum.
Little fucker.
Is that why y'all have the traps, the heart traps? That's a question from the chat right now. Is it because you have possums? You got woodchucks or raccoons?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Wow, that was a big possum.
Oh,
damn.
Well, friendo.
Where were we?
I was asking about the traps. Is it because of the possums or other things that are trying to get in there? That was a question from the chat.
That I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. This place has been here for a long time. There are some good things about here and there are some bad things about here, but yeah, I don't know what that trap's about.
Okay.
At least it's not big enough for me.
Okay. This is awesome. This is really a lot of fun. I don't often get a tour while we get to do the interview. So Brad, the next question is about I'm just gonna skip these next two. Do you have a favorite cheese?
Ooh. Yeah, provolone.
Yum. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because like I think you can use it for it's cheap, it's everywhere, it goes on anything. Mm-hmm. Like it just makes anything better, I think. Yeah, like I can't think of many things that I wouldn't just want to toss some provolone on, probably. And provolone. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. You know what, $5.99 a pound?
It's pretty damn cheap. Absolutely. Brad,
what about you?
Me, my favorite cheese? I don't know, like I just love a cheddar. It goes on a lot of different things. It's perfect on a cracker when you want a little snack. Sharp cheddar, yep. Baby, you got a stew going. I just love cheddar. I love a good
working class cheeses.
Working class cheese. I love a good Gouda as well. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, very tasty. I like I guess my vice cheese or my step up would be like a pepper jack or a Monterey jack or I like give me some spice.
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
Brad, the next question. If you were reincarnated and you came back as a plant or a non-human animal, and if somehow you could choose, what would you pick?
A plant or a non-human?
Yeah. A non-human animal.
Well, my first like three instincts before I tried to rethink it was like some type of monkey, because I was thinking like, all right, what's the closest that I can get to getting back to being a human and then maybe get back to being a human?
Like re-evolve?
Yeah, like will any of it stick in there that we can like, all right, speed up that process a little. Okay. So yeah, I think some kind of smart, what's the term for like monkey creatures? Is there a term for all of them?
Yeah, monkey creatures. I don't know. Primates? Like a primate?
Yes. Wow.
Just like a non-human primate, yeah.
An intelligent primate, I would like to be.
Beautiful. All right. Then, all right, Brad, let's say at the end of your life you go to heaven and you go to the pearly gates and God is there. What would you like to hear God say to you?
Well, I disregard the question because I believe in multiple gods.
Hey.
For one, I think.
Yeah.
What would I want them to say?
Yeah.
I'd really just be, I mean, the simple answer here is I just want the door to open. I guess maybe good job. Yeah, like good job. That'd be simple enough. You know, like a little fist bump, you know, or some kind of. Any kind of like little thing of like, you know, you're not just getting in for no reason. Like, you know, hey, cool.
I like that one a lot. Good job. Keep it simple. Yeah. Get in there. Next up, got a couple more for you. Hey, Touring News, who's an influential leftist that you'd love to be able to meet? And they could be someone that's dead or alive. Yeah, maybe have a nice hypothetical conversation with them.
Turn to Darktown.
Darktown.
Well, I mean, the person that I wanted to meet probably, and the one that influenced me the most into looking into international issues, which then spurred me getting into like macroeconomics and then into monetary systems and then to energy and then to soil and then to farming, was Michael Brooks. Mm. And I did get to meet him in Philadelphia in November of 2019. I went to the Michael Brooks show with Andre, actually sourcing support. Nate Swade and his brother came over in the evening. I met some other people like at the show and so forth. And that's like a simple one that jumps out to me because it had like a tangible impact early. Like when I started streaming early on, I saw like there was not really anybody besides like TMBS on like YouTube or Twitch sphere or so forth. that was doing much like international news from like U.S. I don't even want to say Michael had a U.S. perspective, but just like from U.S. Pundits, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. or U.S. podcasters or so forth. So yeah, he was hugely influential for me for that one.
Yeah. Rest in power, Michael Brooks. Yeah. All right. I think I got one more for you. Brad, what is a favorite leftist book of or author or resource of yours, or just something that you think people should read?
I've been, on a global scale, influenced by Yanis Varoufakis and his trying to blend Marxist ideas, I guess, into EU parliamentarian politics and into like monetary policy and like democratic policy, building DiEM25, starting the Progressive International and some of these things. So I guess he has that wonderful, you know, clip talking to someone about some of the developments China has helped infrastructurally build across the world that he would be famous for. His book, Another Now, is a really amazing look into. There's specifically like an 8-page section in his book, Another Now, which talks about an alternate timeline reality of what could have been had a lot of people striked against the derivatives market in the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. TLDR would be, since all of energy had become privatized and everything became privatized, if people just struck and didn't pay any of their debts, you could then cause like a cascading crash through like financial systems and derivatives markets that would then force a lot of industry to be nationalized away from private hands. It could then be redistributed to the people through like different social media, like strikes and stuff and so forth. So the Another Now, and he had a good thing on the DiEM25 YouTube channel that was pretty, I think, cool of things that could be or could have been or can be or so forth. So I like his blending of, in my opinion, what could be viable or successful larger scale tactics. And he has like a platform and he has got a voice to, you know, be able to do certain things as such. So I'm hoping that he continues to lean into a sustainable ecological development or international democratic unions. He's actually the one that wants a universal basic income. He doesn't talk about like United States basic income or these things. He's like, no, we should have he calls it a universal basic dividend. I think that he was trying to advocate for 10% of companies to be owned in global like trustship or stewardship for the population to receive a dividend off of. Just as like a part of, you know, the birthright for every person from every country and yeah. so forth. So, I like the now of it that he's doing. Recently, also somebody that I don't know much about, retweets do not equal endorsements, but I'm just going to throw out a name of a YouTube channel I've been watching a lot lately. I've been watching Doug Lane on Zero Books. It seems that he's, obviously much, much more well-read than I am, but man, his brain is just working in a different capacity and wavelength. And we think similar thoughts, but I'm at like the 120 level of the course and he's near like the 380 level of the course. So he's been, Zero Books has been some pretty like decent, useful stuff for me of late too.
All right. I think my last question has to do with streamer or creator tips, tips that could be good for a beginner or tips that could be good for advanced or veterans, what have you. What do you think people should know?
Okay. Give me a moment here.
Yeah.
Let's go for a walk while I think about this one.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many, right? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thoughtful.
There are always so many. Jeez. One of them would probably be you've got to have some type of you should have some type of schedule. And if you're going to be like saying you're going to do something, you probably like got to stick to it and do it. Oh, I don't have all that many tips. It's a crapshoot. You're going to have some good times. You're going to have some bad times. I don't know. Okay, fair. I do have one. Go across as many medias as possible if you're doing any like streaming or so forth. Don't trap yourself into one specific broadcasting platform or service or monetization path or anything like that. Like diversity in your ability to message into as many different sectors is like good and important to do.
Okay, so cross-pollinate and diversify and have a schedule. Good shit. Yeah.
Wait, am I supposed to like? I should be taking this seriously and thinking other ones. This could be important stuff.
We could loop back and talk about it another time. It's no stress. It is no stress, Brett.
No, it is. No, okay. You asked the question and it needs a good answer.
It's a conversation, you know. We're not writing a thesis. That's what I think. We're not saving the world with a podcast, Brad. I feel like it might take two or three. Fair. You know what I mean? Two or three.
Yes. So those are going to be some of the ones that I have for now. I don't know if I have too many others. What we're doing here is we're prepping this area to be a food forest. So these are all fruit trees that have been planted a long time ago. And then we're going to be planting a three sisters technique, which is going to be corn, squash, and peas all planted together. And you do that because the corn goes up, the pea goes across, and the squash goes over. So that's like a nice way to like maximize your yield in like something like this. And again, as you can see, really wonderful soil that's been worked on for a long time.
All right.
Camera freeze? Oh no, there we go.
Yeah, let me zoom in here. Yeah. Oh no. Well, the button doesn't want to work anymore. Oh, there we go.
Oh wow, there's been some animals in here.
Oh yeah.
Well, I see.
Some sort of digging.
And we'll go, we can finish with our chickens, and then we'll go somewhere where you won't hear the highway.
It's not very distracting, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that is the end of my inquisition. I don't have any more questions for you. But what we can do is just sort of use the remainder of our time to shoot the shit. Keep chatting, keep doing
check out the farm.
Anything else going on the farm that you want to make sure that we see? This has been fascinating and a blast and a fun ride so far. Look at the chickens. Hi chickens. Buck, 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 buck. I'm speaking their language.
Chickens want some. Yeah, I know. Hang on. Okay.
So cute. Oh my gosh. Look at this chicken. Look at that. Look at them. Beautiful. Cutie pies. Look at these cutie pies. Oh my gosh, dude. Oh my gosh.
Quick, aren't they? Oh yeah, so these are our chickens. You know, chicken coop in here. Yeah. Oh, this one's really pretty.
Oh, wow. Hey, honey. Hey, sweetie. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
This is...
I'll be done in 15 minutes. Is that too long?
Yep. We never get animals.
I'm chicken cam for a moment.
Chicken cam.
I gotta go give an opinion.
All right, chicken cam. Hello, chickens. It's you and me now. Say hi. Someone come say hi to me. Talking to chickens.
Okay, chicken cam has ended.
I never expected to talk to chickens. Okay.
I'm going to go to a place where things are going to be less hectic. We have an indoor grow room that will be nice and peace and quiet that we can hang out and chat in, and I won't be so distracted from 80 sounds.
Okay. This is all right. This is great. You got the gimbal. That's doing good work for you there. I love it. I got to get one of those. I sort of want to do more IRL stuff. This looks great. There we go. There we go. Oh, yeah. Wait.
So this is one of our seedling rooms.
Okay. Yeah, you're cutting out when you're inside here. You definitely you definitely cut out a little bit when you're inside here. That's okay. What goes on in the seedling room? I'll give you a moment.
Are we back?
I sort of. The video's not clicking in yet.
Oh, I'm outside now. Okay. Actually. Hang on.
Okay. There we go. That looks better. That looks good. We're with you now.
Another little cool thing that I'll show, and then we will find like a nice relaxing spot.
Yeah.
We got a ton of bees in here.
Bees?
So these are beehives.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
This is how bad things happen.
Uh-oh. What's going on? Is that bad?
Well, there's bees in there. I wanted to see them, but they're all trying to like stay warm. It's kind of cold here today. So I think they're all indoors trying to stay heated.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to, Dan. How have you been?
I've been all right. I've been doing lots of interviews. We did like 65 plus interviews last month. I'll probably be slowing down a little bit more, but the ideas we're doing, you know, just like we're doing with you, a little bit of get to know you stuff, and then hopefully we'll be able to revisit. And the analogy I've been using is planting seeds, but now that seems a little bit over the top now that I'm talking to you. But the idea is we plant seeds and we see, you know, what's worth returning to, and then we just continue the process, plant some more seeds and just have more of an organic conversation from here. I'm happy we were able to get sort of the, you know, that format out of the way and chat with you about some of those things. That was fascinating while getting the tour. So we got a twofer today. Careful, Brad. Safety first and teamwork. So yeah, if you have some more time, we can hang out, but otherwise I can let you go. It's up to you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure, dude. There's one thing that we didn't show in here actually.
All right.
While we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is. How's my camera work been? It's acceptable.
Very good, actually.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is our rocket stove, and you can use this in cold climates, and this is going to be like a homesteader's like favorite. So what you do is you take little pieces of wood about, you know, yay size, which if you're near any woods anywhere, you're just picking up, you know, dead twigs like down on the ground. So you're not cutting trees down. You're not like adding, you know, too many problems there or so forth. Mm-hmm. So then you burn that a little bit. It runs through your first pipe, which is then going to go underneath your stone and underneath the cob. Cob is a material that you bake. It's like dirt and straw and other materials that you heat up really hot. And then you bake it and it'll sit there and hold the temperature better. Or it can even be used for like simple structural building. You'll see some people build cob houses. But then the pipe comes all the way back here, and your smoke is going to go up out the top there. So, whoops, sorry about that. So you're throwing your smoke up out of your system. You're heating up your stone and your cob instead of heating up the air, which is going to like lose all your temperature really, really quickly. And when it gets really cold here in the wintertime, because we grow lettuces here 365 days a year, what we'll do is we'll put another plastic over this piece. There, what did you see? Yeah, okay, so plastic over that part. And then we'll kind of like enclose this whole little room. And we can keep it in here maybe 45 or 50 if it's, you know, like 10 outside or so.
Wow. That is fascinating. So that stuff is like a mud insulation slash building material.
Yes.
Cool. Oh my gosh, look at that mud cake. Ew. You baked it. That is so cool. That is so cool. And you make lettuce all year round inside there. Stays warm enough during the winter. And I'm assuming it gets just as cold as it does here in Chicago. It's pretty damn cold.
Yeah, now sometimes you'll have to be careful if it gets too hot. Like, you know, there can be a too hot in houses like this. So that's why we've got a fan. I mean, these aren't really good ventilation systems, but there's two fans to like blow some air through. Mm-hmm. But the other day it was 97 when I was in here the other day, and it was like 75 or 80 outside. Ew. So like it gets, yeah, you're kicking up some temperature in here.
Yeah. That is absolutely fascinating. That all looks absolutely delicious and fresh and green and amazing and really inspiring. You're doing this in the middle of Cleveland. In the land of Cleve, just right there in a lot. Looks like, there's still asphalt. So this is what you can do even without tilling that stuff up, without removing all of that. You're able to do these, this is hydroponics growing. Look at that beautiful stuff.
All that you need to add is nutrients, which are, we use, I don't know what this is. Mm-hmm. But this is what we use. It's called Platinum Seed Performance Guarantee, made in Australia. Ooh. NPK. Okay, so that's the, I guess, important part. The the nitrogen, the phosphorus, and what, potassium? Is that what it would be? So it's a 200. You have to balance your numbers, and that's going to be your real only add-in into your system. But then you're just going to need, so if you're wondering like how much electricity you're using or anything, we're using one pump, you know, it's one pump that does the whole system. So it's really not too bad for that way. You're using sticks to keep it heated in the wintertime. You don't really need to use the grow lights, except maybe a little bit in the winter if it's really dark for a while. Soil. You know, not that much water, because you know you're bringing your water back through your system. You know, it's running back through your pipe over here, and this is your, so down over there. Where that part is, and then up here it would be this part too.
All right. So, amazing. Looks like if I ever wanted to grow weed, I would definitely ask you. I would be like, hey.
Well, yeah, and if you want to plant trees too. Like if you want big enough trees that people can't see your whatever those plants are that you're mentioning.
Oh.
I'm really out here trying to learn like everything that I can this year. Like it's been really fun. When I work with the, let me give you my face in some other kind of way. When I went to work with the arborist, we've been using a thing called an air spade.
Yeah.
And an air spade, it's a big diesel thing that makes highly, highly compressed air. And it has like a spade gun that you blow all the root, or you blow all the dirt out of the roots. If like the roots have been girdled roots, or if they've been like diseased or anything like that, to do like preventative tree care. That way you're not striking the roots with shovels or anything. You're just, you know, blowing air. And then you're kind of like, imagine a very, very overpowered archaeologist's tool to remove sand from a... Wait, oh, okay, that's it.
Nice.
Wait, what is this? Where did that... I didn't do that. Okay,
I just pulled it up, yeah. I just YouTubed it.
Yeah, that's it.
It wasn't me.
That thing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. Air spade.
Yeah.
That's what the guy had in that movie, No Country for Old Men. No, that's not true. Different.
Similar. But yeah, do you see how it's not really hurting the roots? You're just blowing the air off of them.
Holy shit, dude. It's like tree dentistry.
Yeah. The guy is a certified arborist. It's been like really, he really cares about tree health.
Wow.
And helping trees survive.
Wow. That's cool.
So that's as interesting, if not more interesting, than what I've been doing here, I think.
Yeah, specialized tools. I'm into that. That is awesome. What do you think about the thought that stuff like this is hard to do without getting grants or without being supported by a wealthy benefactor. I don't know. What do you think about that?
They're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because so this place is a nonprofit. None of the board members get paid. The executive director of the farm doesn't get paid, but they've still got to pay all the electricity bills, the water bill, the sewage bill, the upkeep on the building, the food for us, the electricity. You're dealing with like woofers who are people who, you know, might come for 2 weeks. Somebody might come for 3 months. You don't really know exactly. There's a lot of turnover and so forth. So it's really difficult to run something like this in the style that they do it. However, though, in like a different way, if you want to just like get a market garden for yourself, you can do it in your backyard if you have one on a quarter of an acre. You can put out massive amounts of food. There's a person called Josh Satin, Josh Satin. He's somebody that Clydeson showed me, and he just has really beautiful lined beds, wood mulch chip in between them. He does 2 100-foot-long caterpillar houses, I think, like 16 feet wide by 100 feet or something like that. And he just does like deeply, deeply intense planting that doesn't take a lot of money to get into. I was interested. You had a comment before that, you know, rich people can go and make a huge tilapia farm. I am actually really interested a little bit in like large scale indoor vertical hydroponic or aquaponic systems. You know, can you get one 10,000 square feet? Can you go 20? Like how big can you get? How much food can you make like this in a city? For people with like no soil, no water, no transport, you know, a lot of just like benefactor things, especially when you have a lot of abandoned commercial real estate property from COVID-19 pandemic, from businesses moving to work from home more, from a little bit of moving out from cities. So it's a shame, but there are ways to get the grants, you know, like and so forth. But yeah, it can be, it's expensive. And also the other thing is like, you're never going to make money ever. And if you are, like, what are you doing? You're making money off of, like, growing food. So that's really not all that good either. Mm-hmm. But you got to survive somehow. Each of these are worth about, like, $3 if we sell them. So you can we have, like, enough capacity to be grown 720 out here at a time. I guess you could have some seed starts inside. So maybe, what, they're ready. They get ready every 60 days.
Yeah.
So I guess you could be selling... what, 72 a week? So you could be outputting only 220. Like, so with this system, you can maybe make about $12,000.
That's my math as well.
Even if you're perfect on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you sell that? You do sell and you all make
it. We sell it at a local market. We sell at a couple local markets. Yep. Okay. And then any of the money goes back into keeping the place going and yeah.
Probably a lot. Yeah. As you mentioned. Okay. Well, I'm looking at Chad, and I'm going to give Chad an opportunity to ask any last questions of Brad here of Touring News. I don't want to keep you any longer than you're able to stay. But another question was, the rocket stove inside is not a problem because the exhaust is unidirectional. As long as it works as intended, you don't get the carbon monoxide inside, do you?
Right. So when you're actually starting your rocket stove, the way that we have this one designed, if you're getting too much smoke early at the beginning, yeah, it's some kind of like person who knows a lot about like temperature and like air flows and so forth could answer this better. Mm. But it's because the air hasn't started to go through that pipe yet. So what you can do is you pop this part off, yeah, and you burn a little piece of paper or something inside of burn a little piece of paper in there. And that starts to pull the air. And then I guess if I starts like the whole kind of system going. So that's what you do if when you're starting your fire, you're not getting it to go through quickly enough. But that's, yeah, because that can be, you know, a big question. And I will full disclosure say about the four lettuces that were sitting right here did have a little bit of, dirt on them or soot from like the smog. But it didn't extend beyond just about the four right here, which was really pretty nice.
That's fascinating. This is so cool. Well, what do you think? Are you feeling like a return to the earth? Do you feel more earthly, a connection to the ground, to your food, to your world?
I don't know. I feel that I'm expanding. I don't really feel tied to anything yet, but I feel growth, which is like a good thing to feel. I don't exactly know if it's really, and I'm not even exactly looking for a return to earth feel, because I am interested in hydroponics. I'm interested in aquaponics or vertical systems. So I don't think that like the answer is, you know, a complete return to the field. Mm-hmm. It seems to be, somebody was bringing up a cool idea. Like it would be nice to have, two farms that have a relationship with one another, one rural, one urban, that you could kind of like shift back and forth between like different settings, different lifestyles, different production techniques, different learning, like, you know, endeavors and so forth. So I think that's something that also seems to be pretty cool. There's a lot that really seems to be pretty cool. This year, over the next like 3 months, I got to cram a bunch of knowledge in, and then it's time to, I think, like find land in the fall or soon. Like, I mean, soon. Give me a patch of dirt anywhere, everybody. I've got shovels and four tires to get me there.
That sounds like a blast. Brad, I think for me, I think that's a perfect time to end it. A perfect time to wrap things up. I really am happy that we were able to do the chat and the tour as well. It was a twofer, and I feel like I feel very honored and grateful to have been a part of this. Thank you very much for sharing that and the whole tour and everything. Thank you, buddy.
Yep, I appreciate being on, and I hope you all have a good day.
Thanks so much.
All right, see you.
We'll see you next time. Peace. Solidarity, Brad.
Boom.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. That was Brad, dude.
I left too early.
Sorry, we're still here. Hey, listener. You just heard an episode of Leftist and Chill, the show you never knew you didn't need but still can't live without, the podcast version. Content like this is only made with the support of listeners like yourself. Please support at patreon.com/idansimpson today.